too, right? With Debbie and Rick, and this is our business session this Thursday morning, the 7th of March, 73. Channel 2, right? And with Rick and Debbie. And this is our business session Thursday morning of all things. This 8th of March, 73. Channel 2, right? Rick and Debbie, and this is the beginning of our business session. Thursday morning, the 8th of March, 73. Channel 2, right? And beginning of our business session with Rick and Debbie this Thursday morning, the 8th of March, 73.
Yes.
I put one of the tapes on just so people talk better with it on. That's what the advantage to say. I think it's something to it.
She started out talking. She could move her head like this and she said, is it tape on?
Brock. Now that's not the kind you got.
Starlight, yeah.
Same thing?
Yeah.
Starlight.
Uh-huh.
Right. Well, there's two kinds. One of them a little better than the other. But I forget which is which.
Debbie ought to know she's a man eater.
She eats them a little bit.
Yeah, those look like the same kind.
Let's have a little replay of what happened. What night was it you got back? Monday?
Tuesday night.
Let's have a little replay. I picked up the cue from Faye. She said you were glad to be back. That where you go, they can't talk. And another statement, she just passed on to me. They aren't physical. So I gave you those cues to cut through whatever you had to say and put it in a little different light. But you took your own cues. Go ahead. Yeah. Let's see how you take your own cues.
Well, I was used that business about not being able to talk like the way we talk here with Doug's music. I wanted to.
Well, start with Candy. Doug's out of the picture. You don't give anything on him.
I talked about the jungle trip that we took, the boat ride down. We went to Wakulla Springs to see the wildlife sanctuary, and I just compared it to the times that Candy and I used to take boat trips in Greece together. And I could never quite put my finger on what it was about those trips until I saw her in action on this trip. We had old tickets.
This was the old Candy.
So this was the old Candy, yeah. It didn't change very much.
Well, you see, after it's over now, I can get my cues and go along with you. That's all I tried to do the other night, was to go along with you, but I didn't. Give us a little of it.
Well, they had gotten tickets, I guess about a month before, and hadn't used them. So Candy thought we could just use those tickets. And so she took them, but she also took along some money in case they wouldn't.
Now, you make a lot of the tickets. It looks to me like that's beside the point. It looks like it's the other part that's the old Candy. Will this work too, the tickets?
Well, it's just the idea that she sort of manipulates around, and even with the tickets, she does. She tells it so that you're sure that she's not doing anything that's really illegal or dishonest, because she says, well, you know, we've really supported Wakulla Springs the past 2 months. We've spent $30 there taking people on the rides. They owe us a free ride.
No, I don't carry that over into the old candy, you see. You see, I got lost. And I don't see this point.
Well, the old candy, I guess, is trying to get on the boat and getting the two front seats.
Yeah.
She says to me, we've got to get the two front seats because otherwise you can't, we have to sit in the front of the boat or you can't see anything.
Well, I say, you just went into the tickets as part of that getting on the front seats.
Yes, just getting on the boat. That's all.
But it's really got nothing to do with getting the front seats.
Mm-hmm.
See, I got stuck.
I see.
Well, I didn't see. You see. But a lot of times you see and I don't. Well, the nice part of it was going down the river. That was a very nice part. Do a little of it, just for our pleasure.
She talked louder than the guide. We were on the boat for 5 minutes, and Candy'd been on the ride so much that she started telling everybody on the boat what all the birds were, and the guide just didn't have a chance. He was... we met some friend of hers from the capital who was going... They have a glass-bottom boat that goes around the springs, and you look down into the springs, and then they have this jungle ride, so there's two boat rides you can take. And these friends were saying, well, you really should take the glass bottom boat ride because it's a very Ed Ballish sort of thing. They get these black men to run the boats and they sing. And this is supposed to be, you know, take you back to the old Florida. And so the men sing at the back of the boat. Well, this black man who was running our boat was sort of Ed Ballish too. He would say things like, this is the such and such a bird. He catch fish for his living, and you know he had a whole patter worked out about the birds, and Candy never gave him a chance.
Yeah.
She talked louder than he did the
but
whole time.
But he didn't care.
He didn't care. He was probably glad not to have to talk for one ride.
Yeah.
But she'd point out. She'd say, "Now what's that bird over there?" She'd say, and he'd stop and say what it was, you know. But she'd go on and on. Her voice really carries. And she talks faster than anyone I've ever known. She speaks very rapidly, but she's the only person I've known who speaks that rapidly and you can understand them.
Yeah.
You understand every word she says, but she talks like just like that.
Yeah.
Really fast.
Yeah.
Especially
when
she's excited.
Is that a... Not everybody can do that, or is that something you just can sort of work into?
I don't think everybody can do that, because when most people speak rapidly, they run the words together. Candy speaks rapidly, naturally. That's the way she talks. Fast. That's the way she does everything, fast.
She doesn't have to deliberate.
She always knows right away what her answer is.
Well, what she needs is she can't do it by herself, what she needs is a running mate. Huh?
Here I am.
Right, like Marvin and Mrs. Guthrie.
Mm-hmm. I've been Candy's running mate since we were in about the seventh grade. That's a pretty long time.
You see, Marvin, Mrs. Guthrie never finishes anything. She just... Got Marvin there. He'll back her up. Go along. But you don't have to do that.
Well, I usually... No, Candy's a little more complete than Miss Mary in things that she does. She's a little more... Well, like she said, you stand at that gangplank and I'll stand at this gangplank. And wherever the boat comes, we'll be in the right spot to get the two front seats.
Yeah.
So, that was... she doesn't... Marvin would have been a little more in on it with Miss Mary, I think. He might have suggested that he'd go to the other gangplank, because Miss Mary might have said, well, we better get on first. But see, Candy has it a little more planned out. She carries it a little further.
Well, these things she does, they're never matters of any consequence. Just boat rides that you have, that's the experience you've had with her?
Well,
that's largely what you were doing. You were just traveling.
Mm-hmm. In Greece.
And that's all there was. Something like a boat ride.
A boat ride, going places, going up to find her grandparents' house, and traveling, moving. Maybe she's got to be moving to have her things work out.
So you've never actually been her sidekick to get things done?
To get places, but not to get that.
All this business is in governor's office. She does that by herself.
Yes.
See, when mm-hmm. I'm short faced, I'm just probing. I'm just pushing. Just is all. I've got no notions about it.
Well, I had the notion from just a little bit that you said out there that maybe you could sort of be a little more objective and look at Candy this time.
Detached is the word I use.
I mean, could you look at her a little bit more than you did at Greece?
Detached means that you go right along with them, you see, but mm-hmm. you're not wrapped up in it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're part of it. It's my sense of feeling, you see. I don't go in for the objective. That means stand apart. In any use I've ever seen made of it. And I don't stand apart.
But you almost have to be detached to see your friends or anybody, don't you think?
Yes, you do.
The statement you made about Candy, I think that would work, was that you said she doesn't take any crap off anybody.
That's right.
And she's short. And you think, well, nobody pay attention to her. But she comes out kind of, not ferocious, but I wouldn't want to tangle with her.
Can't push her around?
No.
And I mean, she didn't just step into that governor's job.
No, she started out as a temporary typist on the task committee, reapportionment, I guess it was. And about 2 weeks later, she was writing the bill. And they started out, I remember the first letter I got from her, when she was working in this job, she said, she wrote to me and she said, I just don't think I can stand it. She said, all I'm doing is typing bills. And what they do is they walk into the office and they look at me and they say, girl, fix the coffee. Candy didn't want to take that from anybody. So then after a while, she was writing the bill for them. And then she worked on the reapportionment committee until the bill went through. And then they hired her on the governor's staff. And now she's writing this consumer affairs thing, report.
So what you
and
need?
Got the grant in 3 days. 4 days, something like that, $250,000.
What you need is to have a week over there with her where you could pick up some of the points about the getting the grant and about the bulletin they're writing.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd learn something from it.
If I go to work with her or something for a day.
What?
If I went to work with her for a day, something like that.
Yeah. Well, why did you have to go on that Wakulla ride?
Because it was a nice day and we wanted to get out. I wanted to get out, then get outdoors, not stay in the house.
You want to be physical?
Yeah.
Sitting there in the seat watching the duck. Don't let me get to have the last word.
It was more physical than sitting in the house. At least we were sitting on the boat, going somewhere. We walked around Wakulla Springs. So, out there and back.
But with Candy, it's sort of fun to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere
at all. It's fun. It's fun to go someplace where she's excited about it. She's very excited about Wakulla Springs. And to watch her be that excited and sort of take over like she did from the guide,
mm-hmm.
is fun. I mean,
well,
it's,
did
it's
she go around and talk to Guy a little afterwards or before? No.
She's just been on the ride 25 times, so she knows how she knows everything he's going to say about all the birds.
But she's not interested in the people. She never. She doesn't use the ride to make contact with anybody.
Not with the guide, no. But she made contact with the with that family that was sitting around us.
Well, that was useless because you'll never see them again. That's what Wade does. He goes over and has a beer with people he'll never see again. And just wastes his time. One of them is a bricklayer. He got so much money, he buys all these velocipedes for his children. And the wheel ran off of one. He didn't want to fool with it, so he just went and got a new velocipede. I don't know what velocipede is. It was some
little toys and stuff, yeah.
This wasn't a toy. This cost $50 or so. It's the impression I got.
Yeah.
You heard it. You heard
yeah, it was a truck of some kind. I guess you could sit on and push.
Yes.
It's a good sized toy.
Yes. So, what we could do is watch you survive over there. As you were just easy going, as you talked about. But, you see, you weren't physical. She didn't make contact with anyone. And your sidekick, to just a little teenage, or what, a little, you're still in Greece.
She does make contact with people, though. I mean, for example, when she worked in Boston.
But she didn't with you when you were there. You didn't. You had a bad influence on her. I'm thinking about you.
Yeah.
In Boston. I'm confused as to where you are.
I'm thinking about you, this last weekend, after all your conditioning out here. You're still sort of helpless when it comes to fending for yourself, like Miss Mary and the Sears men. They give her that $2,000 roof. It's really not worth putting on. And not a thing she can do about it. She got no defenses. It's just one of the saddest things I've ever seen. Suzanne documented it. She makes no comments. But you don't see it. This place up here. There won't be a vacant lot up there. In the whole Gainesville area.
Mm-mm.
I've been doing that now for no telling how many years.
Mm-hmm.
You see, all that, they don't realize it. No one does. I wouldn't either. Such it's not such a rapid change, it's such a radical change, you see, where they won't even know where their friends live. Almost like displaced persons. You go back in a year and you don't recognize the place, and it's that way again and again and again.
Mm-hmm. Everywhere.
And you can't, you see, that's a note I wrote to Florence. She telephoned me out here and she says they attacked me. Well, I know what she means. She's pretty good natured and every now and then, you see, we make it hard on her. But for no reason. And I never, when I first started, I never thought it bothered her. Said she liked to do a few things. She liked to do some things, some different things. Now in college, she danced on her toes. this they were putting on a dance. I haven't been reading the paper, and I missed it.
And Follies and the Rockettes.
The Follies and the Rockettes. Mm. And she was one of the main Rockettes.
Hmm.
And her dress was so abbreviated, her children liked it, but the adults were a little bit doubtful about it, she said. Now, she said, I don't know, you see, things like that, I have to write them out to get them straight. And she just talks over the telephone. I can't, I don't get the connection, I don't know what she means. They attack her, so she gets to be a Rockette, so she can tell them go to hell. That's all I got out of it. Well, I didn't bring that up, you know, not just strictly, like in those terroir terms, but I said, I didn't think that was it that made people do all these things and made them nervous. I thought it was this radical change this fellow talks about in the future shock. And the odd thing is we read about it, but we're not conscious of what it does to us. And in my view, I said to her, the first I really realized what was going on was that little piece of Suzanne on Miss Mary in the Sears Men. And since then, I don't know, it sort of obsesses, it's sort of an obsession. It's in my mind all the time. And it's something you can't get out. You can't stop those bulldozers and steam shovels up there. Not a thing you can do. Law, environmental stuff, you can do. Nothing will stop it. There's nothing will even slow it down.
Remember how you felt about the trailers when you came back from town, from that area? Mm-hmm.
And there over there with Miss Bessie. All that going along. Everything was quiet right where she was. And she was just a little world of her own there. And she had a little bigger yesterday. Eyes were bright and she could talk. And she stood up, sat up straight with that queenly way she had. Says, Mr. Miles, there's just no way of knowing what's going to happen to you tomorrow. I can't recapture her words. I knew what she said, but we didn't put it into bad words. Now that's mortality. But I'm not thinking of the mortality of it so much. Still had a little poise and all that smog. And when I was in talking to Ward, I was just afraid to say anything. You see, everybody goes about their business, they're quiet at those desks and all. But you can't go across the street. You've got to dodge the traffic. It's a feverish sort of world that you live in. And there's no escaping it, you see. You can get a condominium and you see, you can't stay in it. You've still got to get out of it. Some of them are sporting about it. They play it, you see. They know what's going on, and they'll take advantage of all these things. I don't think they can win. So, even out here, you see, we get derailed. And I've pared away everything, all the the obstructions. I've just pared away little by little. Except it was cool cow. And it's a fierce world. And you say it don't come in here and push you around? Don't tell me. It's the fiercest thing I've ever seen. Any little horseplay like that on the boat is all colors. No, I just, that's the way it ought to be. You see, the consumers can't win. Somebody's going to have to pay them. Well, you've got such big interest now, they can just go over the little consumer protection people and take all the sting out. If they don't like what they say, that's how big it is. No. You can kind of, all I can do is sort of temporarily neutralize it. Out here, they can take me in tomorrow, you see. The county road department can run right through here. Not a thing I can do. Nothing. They've got it worked out. They've got the lawyers. They can wait me out. I can't wait them out. They can treat me just like the water people did Mr. Nealon. I got not one chance. I don't think you can hit it directly. And now you don't know what to hit. You start to write the congressman, you don't know what to write him about. You start to write him about one thing, before you get the letter written, you got six more. And he ain't interested in that anyhow. I got this last thing from him, and all he talked about was the new committee assignments he had. Congressman Fuquay. I don't know what it is. I don't know. It's a remarkable thing. Nobody bothers anybody, you see. I mean, the promoters or whoever it is, they don't come out and try to harm you, hinder you, upset you, as long as you let them go through your property. Put up a service station right next door, whatever it is. Now, I don't think there's much choice. I mean, I think you got to take the heat off before you can see.
Mm-hmm.
Now you work out here during the week, and then on the weekend you can go over with Candy or with Marsha or with somebody at some place where you can kind of see what's going on and sort of take hold best you can. But then you have to come back here, and what's been clear, perfectly clear to me for some time. I didn't know it. I didn't think it was just forced on you. I used to think I'd give them a little taste of Emerson, and they were just like a ticket, like a visa. They could go in any kind they wanted to. Well, it never did work that way. Somebody, you see, they don't have the, well, now look at Faye, little Faye. She's as persistent as anyone I ever saw. she's had all sorts of breaks to good fortune. By and large, she's lived in a little bit of a matchbox. Now, I don't mean to just talk all morning. I just got started on this. But this is what's waiting for everybody. She put up a lot of things, you see. She didn't want too much help, you know, do herself. Well, she can do very nice things, beautiful things. Now her letters, at least I don't see them. I saw Faye had one. And what it was, a little paragraph written January 24th, another little paragraph written January the 30th, another little paragraph written February the 10th. Now that's going to her typewriter now that she sends to the family. She'll Xerox them and send them to the family. That's all she does. I stick Suzanne on her and her on Suzanne. But you see, it didn't work. So it's a waste of time unless somehow you're gonna take the world seriously. Largest part of it is just surviving.
That's
surviving.
What I see.
You see, you've got all these private problems. You see, they'll push on you that you're not married. They'll push on Rick. You see that he's losing money. Well, after you get married, they'll press you for to have six children, and then they'll say, "Why in the hell are you still on this old job? Can't you get ahead a little bit?" There's always something pressing your pride, something, always something, you see, to take you out of circulation. Now that's what I learned from, now you say, where did I learn that? I learned that from Margaret Mead. That's in her anthropology. That's anthropology that she's writing. And that's where I got it. That's where I first got it.
Well, all you have to do is examine, look at your life or your friend's life, and know that that's true. You have to fend for yourself. You have to find some defense, or you'll be taken over.
I don't think it's a curious thing. You see, and I didn't write the book, but families don't help you much. They can help you in some things, but not in others. Now, if Faye gets sick, Fanny can fly out to AC and see to it that the doctors don't kill her. But she can't clear her day so she can type. And it's absolutely a limit to what the family can do, Faye.
Mm, yeah.
I mean, you can't depend on your family for...
Well, that's what Katie said to me when Debbie was first thinking about coming out here. You know, she says, well, and other people have too. The family can do just so much, and then somebody outside the family has to make, you know, the way. And she was just saying, you know, how pleased she was.
Well,
I
told your mama, I sent word to her. I said, I'll work with your child if you'll do that stuff down there. I can't do that.
Exactly.
I mean, even if I tried, I couldn't do that. But I can work with your child.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a, really not a personal thing.
Rick's mother said the same thing that one time I saw. She said, we can just stand by.
Yeah. Well, it's a sad world, and you have to recognize it, but act as if it's not. Not let everybody know what you think. You see, Mr. Nealon, that's underneath, I gather, all the time. All of his whole the whole jig's up. There won't be any trees. Got to go ahead the best he can and act as if
mm-hmm.
when he came to Florida, Flagler County, you see, there was trees. They could be prodigal with them. He dug them up by the roots. Those old lighted stumps. Made a clearing.
So actually,
is that somebody, or is that Don?
Yeah, somebody. Yeah.
Go ahead and see what it is.
He sneaked by. Didn't see him come.
I didn't hear him toot his horn or ring the bell.
So actually, as I see it, through the time that God's been working, this inquiry is almost a protect, you know, to fend for yourself, to see, and not be kidded.
Well.
And it hopefully will help.
This little thing out here, you see, where you can see, you can actually see a human being,
mm-hmm.
and make contact with them. And you can't do that. You can't do that. It's not done. Now you see, the danger I run is Debbie transfers all that to her friends and her family, and I don't have anybody in mind. You see, I'm talking about the world the way it is now. It's just next to impossible to make contact with anybody. It's all a sort of Freudian basis. And if you can and you don't get it from the literature.
Mm-hmm.
See, you'll read the literature in the same light. So while you get a chance, you want to see them in the right light. Now, see, I work with my friends out here. I make them available. We can look at them in any light. But they're my friends. They're the best friends I have. But I still look at them. I wish they were just kind of far enough along that they could see what we see. But you see, can't do that. See, Shirley couldn't listen to herself.
Mm-mm.
Relating that incident about the steer, and I don't know where I am. And she said, I was listening, and I don't know where I am. I know it had gone too far. Now,
the thing that always shouldn't make you feel bad or, you know, disturb your sleep at night or anything like that. But it should make you feel a little protection almost. That this sort of way of looking is what Rick was saying the other day as he talked to Dick Green going across the campus. It has to have some serious meaning,
mm-hmm.
or else you all wouldn't be doing it. And what you're going to do with Mr. Nealon's, what you've done on Mr. Nealon, or what you're going to do with what you've done on Virgil, if it never gets published, it's you're looking at it and you're seeing a human being, and you, it has, it has to have some meaning for you, or else there's no use doing it.
Well, I'd like to just sign off now, my part of it. But you see, Deb is the first person who's ever come out here who has put her friends on the table and let us look at them.
That's right.
I've always had to supply them.
Uh-huh.
Every one of them, you see.
Uh-huh.
Rick had got so he did that too a little bit. It's partly maybe me, but I think she's
uh-huh.
superior.
Uh-huh.
But what it does, you're not looking for, you're not trying to criticize people. You're just trying to see them where you can. You see, when you go over to see Candy, you can make more out of it.
Guy said if Candy came down here, we'd just all cut loose and just follow Candy. Let her call the plays. But if you could see her work, you see,
if I had anybody like Candy on this thing, I'd just keep her going. I just keep in touch with her all the time, Faye.
I'd be.
And I wouldn't do it about it. Can she write a letter?
She calls on the telephone.
I know that.
She doesn't write letters.
She won't write a letter?
Not as long as there's a telephone around and a free one at that.
Well, when she telephones, you put it down. And then ride her back. I'd keep in touch with that child. You see, she's a stake in the future, or some such term.
I'd go to work with her, but I'd do.
Yeah. But now look at the household. That's a nightmare.
The dog.
And the friends.
And the friends. Those, well. They can't help it. I mean, the people with the baby can't right now.
Well, you see, they're defensive. But you've got to get around that. You've got to sidestep that. Now, that's what threw her off Tuesday night. She hasn't reacted to me when I'm tired in a long time. I mean, I can say anything to her. She don't particularly bother about that.
No. She's like thoughtful about not disturbing you when she thinks you're resting, but she doesn't react
well,
to you
when
you're tired.
Well, I don't know when I'm resting.
No. No, everybody's got over that. We don't react to you when you're tired.
Well, it just takes so much energy to be civil. And you don't get anywhere with it.
Guy said the other morning, he said, "Now I don't feel a bit civil today. Would you just overlook me if I'm not civil?"
Rick's always civil. Debbie is too. They can be civil, but you see, they're not canned the ball. I'm canned the ball out here.
Well, it's good to cuss a little bit every once in a while, isn't it, Rick? You cuss a little bit.
I do.
Debbie kisses.
Well, let me tell you. Well, you see, I'd like to turn it over. I'd like to hear Debbie talk a little bit. Just, I don't know what's see. But she checks in with me all through the day, and that's proper. I mean, that helps me. I can tell what she's doing. I got so I can tell what Rick's doing. And he did nice on that wilderness thing out there, but it took him so long. it's just not worth that. And the chief thing, he finally had to sweat it out. I don't know why it takes so long for his mind to work. He had to leave out all of that Mr. Nealon's political side.
That's nice because, he says at the end so well, I think. I thought the statements that he made at the end of that piece were very good, that if you put in the political struggle, you don't see the struggle of the trees, which is what Mr. Nealon sees when he looks at the forest, the struggle the trees are having. I thought that was very perceptive.
Well, now, it could be, you see, he's got to the point where he can carry both in his mind. In his mind.
Uh-huh. Hmm.
And one doesn't interfere with the other. And you get so you can do that. You can carry several. You can look at. You can, you know, just live in several worlds all at one time. And you shift. You see, that is the best at shifting that I've ever seen.
Can you do that, Debbie? Live in several worlds?
Sure, I do right now. I live in lots of different worlds.
And on top of that, she can pick them up and go right along with them. But you can't if you let things push you. If you push, you can't. You can't do it under pressure.
Not as well, no.
You ought to pretty well. You ought not to let pressure get hold of you that much. Now, why couldn't you make a little more off that visit to Tallahassee? Over there, I'm talking about, not here.
Well, I think a lot of times the problem is when you don't. I hadn't seen Candy in about 6 months, longer than that.
I thought of that.
And it takes a while. You spend 24-48 hours just sort of catching up on things, you know, and you get back into the patterns that you have with people, you know, you sort of go through the same routines with different people, and if you haven't seen them for 9 months, it takes a while to get back into it. And I hadn't spent any time with Candy and Doug since last August, so I just been putting
her on
off
the phone every day.
Well, that's not the same thing as being there in the house with them.
It looks to me like the worst thing in the world is to be in the house with them. With them.
Only if you sit down and have a lap. Otherwise, it's all right. If you have a lap, you've got dogs in it. If you don't have a lap, you're fine.
When you go back over there, you get a room next door.
Oh, shoot.
She won't pick that up.
Well, that's a good idea, won't it, Debbie? You just have a room next door.
I sleep with the pianos. Doug's got two pianos, so...
She's sitting duck.
There?
They punch a button, she moves. We're just making statements, Debbie.
Yeah.
You can't, that's all you can do over there. Just what you did. You can't get it on your terms at all. It's all going to be on Candy's. And she hadn't had your little working over.
You can't take it to the marketplace with Candy, in other words. Our candy.
Well,
a candy.
I don't know what you mean by the marketplace. You can't make contact with candy with the dogs there.
Well, I sort of thought I was making contact. I was watching her through the way she looked at
yeah.
the dogs. I sort of thought I was making contact there.
Oh, I see.
That was, yes, that was your statement.
I was watching her report
yeah.
on the dogs.
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah. But you never make mental contact with her. Monday?
Well, I guess not in the way that
She didn't mention Monday.
Mm-hmm. Well, we talked all day, but it wasn't this kind of talk, you know.
It's sort of catching up talk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It looks to me like she gave us the wrong part. I could very well dispense with that Valcolla thing and the dogs with just a statement. It looks to me like Monday is what was the subject. That's the closest she came to making contact. Well, now you see, what are you going to do? I don't know what it is, Debbie, you know that. I've just learned to probe and listen a little bit. and you see, when you summarize it, it puts a sting in it. You don't want to do that. I mean, that's not the point of it.
Well, when friends talk, like probably Candy and Betty talked, I can imagine it was about your friends and
yeah.
about Doug's problem with getting a job and, you know, all sorts of things like that. And you probably listened because that was it.
Sure, it's natural people talk about. You know, so your friends, they talk about problems and things. It's Freudian talk, you know.
Well, business talk. Oh, yeah, you see. You see? She takes us on a boat ride. Spends an evening on a boat ride.
She's Candy as she's wise. She can see her better than she did in Greece. Just manipulating Candy. It's amazing how Debbie lets us see our friends. It really is.
I'm not sure that she lets us see them.
Well, I was trying to give a visible example. That's what I was trying to do.
She just took us on a boat ride. Everybody. Rick, what are we going to
hoping is to see Vince Gabrielli.
Yeah.
Up at the museum.
Yeah.
Because he's a big grand man.
Yeah.
He's not an academic. He's not a scholar.
Yeah.
He's more of the business type.
What's Debbie going to do? She just going to sit out here and twiddle? She's the best at this, but she gets this little color thing out of her system. See, she's still off the track, Faye. We can't get her back on.
I'm sitting here with two folders in front of me. I'm trying to get on the track. I need to go see Miss Nealon because I need to take that scrapbook back to her.
You can go see it anytime. You want to go right this minute?
No, I...
Well, you say you need to go see Miss Nealon just to take a scrapbook. You don't need to go to town just to take a scrapbook.
I need to talk to her if we want to do anything more with Miss Nealon.
Well, if you're going to take a scrapbook, you don't want to just pass up a chance to talk to her.
That's right.
Well, that's sort of what I was getting out to. But I don't know how we want to use the material on Mrs. Nealon.
What do you want me to tell you and all like that? You see, I haven't gone through very little of that Mr. Nealon stuff. Rick has a much better hand than I have, so you'll have to bring that up with him. You can do it now.
Well, you can.
I don't know what we have, you see.
What I'm thinking is, she, for Flagler County, she'd probably be better to work with, at least get the cues.
Yeah.
See, there was one article in the magazine scrapbook that he wrote. That it's not so much writing, but it just provides enough little background information. That there's some fine material in that Flagler County.
Oh, is there?
Like buying his Model T Ford.
Oh.
When he only had $4.75, but happened to marry
a
woman who had the money to buy the car.
Yeah.
And the hogs, yeah. Vaccinating the hogs. You see, that's why he was hired county agent.
Well, he vaccinated the hogs for us.
Yeah. But there's a whole lot there that he hasn't touched. And I think
if
we can get the politics out of the way.
Oh, yes. Well, we know how to do that now.
Now, there's a whole Mr. Nealon we haven't touched.
Well, he didn't get on the politics Saturday, that last Saturday.
No. Now, that's rare, too. It's
we kept him away from it.
Yeah.
We kept him, at least we kept him on the other.
Mm-hmm. And with a starter like that, he comes in on a crummy morning with his car stuck. You'd never think he'd get anything.
Mm-hmm.
The whole tape is just, I just can't believe it. So. But, I kind of see Ms. Nealon more as someone to get the cues from.
Well, now, let me tell you. We're going to have to drop the Nealon. There's just not time enough, you see. We will get derailed here, you see, and I won't have anybody to work with. The chances are too great. I'll say something, come up with something sometime that you won't like, and you'll run off. I have to run that risk constantly. the important thing is getting something in print, and Mr. Nealon is not the important thing to get into print. The important thing is getting to print what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got it lined out. And now, on the first part, I've got to put in this insight that I had in the fall of 68. And what I would like to do is put it in fairly pompous terms, you see. But I can't do that anymore. So I'm going to do it through Whitman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to show that he had access to Emerson, and Emerson enabled him to do that.
Yeah.
And what he saw, no one actually ever knows. and we can use Canby. Mm-hmm. Now I'll have the two of you, both of you good readers, excellent readers. well, very good readers. I don't want to make it too strong. and I can't make out anything that Canby says that's worth seeing in the 1855 Leaves of Grass. Now, what that'll do, it'll enable you to come to grips with it. I made a statement. You've got Canby to go by.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to have to line it out for you and bring you up to where I am. I can't turn you loose on the books. It'd take you 10 years, you see, or longer, 20 years, 30 years, to get to the Emerson up to where I am now. So you simply have to work on what I know and go from there. Where I don't know. And I can tell you where I quit. Now, and we got to get this grant. We got the grant. We got to keep that grant in the works and do this too.
Mm-hmm.
That means Mr. Nealon's got to go on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
But we may be able to use some of Mr. Nealon in my future essays.
Yeah, I think it would work.
Now, the first one is, I want to say this insight that I had, and then think of it as an inquiry, and that an inquiry, it doesn't go in one direction, it has many prongs. And that's what I want to show. That's what I want to set down. It has so many prongs. They say, what do you want to do specifically? Well, in my case, there's nothing specific to do. It's you can't isolate one from another. You have to take it all along, little, all along. So you see, the grant people adapt themselves, I don't know, to medical research or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know, you see, we're farther along in some ways than they are.
Mm-hmm.
So, in some ways. And see, the grant people have never pursued an inquiry, especially one like this. It wasn't sponsored research. This was only just tolerated. And what made them tolerate it was Miss Liza's voice. That was the thing that did it. Several people heard her voice. And after that, they let me go. Now that's her voice.
That's right.
And the best electronics man is the one who heard that voice. Even heard Miss Stasis. I didn't have Miss Lyons and Miss Stasis to start with, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But in the beginning, the people who heard, you know, heard her voice were the ones, I mean, on the campus.
Yeah.
Said this is important.
Now, so you see, what I can do, I can do that. That's what I've done so much of. We've got the books here, and I can line it out and tell you where I am, and you can read along and catch up with me in a short time. And then we'll hit the hard part. Hit the part I can't help. So, I'll carry you along with me, you see. I can carry you along with me. And that's no trouble to me, you see. I can carry a class along with me, except now, you see, you've got these people in the class who don't want to come to class or read the book, and still make it on the grade. And that's a little on the difficult side. Not quite satisfying. So I've abandoned the classes. Do anything with them. It's not me. Well, It's a protest movement. It has really landed them. It has really landed them. You talk about some feverish traffic is nothing compared to that state of mind of the students, of the young people on the campus. They aren't what they seem to be, not anymore. Now here's the thing. You see, we are taking, we're doing several things at one time, and dividing our effort. Now, what I would want to do is, you see, some of these tapes don't have to, they'll last a long time. You don't have to handle that. Now, one thing I'd like to do, you see, and we could do it. And furthermore, we can, if we had Mr. Nealon, once we do him and get a little system of doing these things, we could turn these things out every 2 weeks and have something ready for the printer and not wait till you get the whole book filled. Just put it in a little at a time. All right? I'd like to get the mentality of a student. Now, you see, with your friends and what access I have to people up there, we could do it. And it's something they don't know. You can't get it. One person can't do it. And it's all individual work up there. When they get together, they don't talk about students. Talk about library funds or committee assignments. That's like a congressman in his committees he's been assigned to. With his seniority, experience, interests. He's a millionaire. Is that right?
Don Jr., is he?
What?
I don't know whether he is or not.
You mean you don't get any of the off talk at all about those things?
I don't know about Don Seifert.
Well, he's one of the big supporters of the Barge Canal.
Oh,
he ought to come in. One way or another, every now and then. You mean your family don't cuss? She's damned with a intelligent
civil
family.
Palace. An intelligent
you
civil
see,
palace.
When Faye came up, and when I came up at the supper table, we called it, we cussed. Just bring up anything, you see. And at dinner too. Dinner was noon. Papa would come home and have a budget of it, wouldn't he?
And he would have a budget of it.
And the children were exposed to it. And they got tired of it. See, at their age, they didn't want to hear it.
Well, before you get into too many, into the this Whitman, this sounds. I'd like to be in on all of that and read some with it.
Got your cooking to do.
I'd like to know something about what you can tell Debbie about Virgil.
You mean from the singing?
Mm-hmm.
All I did was put down the sequence so I could see the little light as it came along.
Oh, you wrote it down.
Oh, yes,
mm-hmm.
It's down.
Mm-hmm. It's down.
Well, I didn't go into detail, but it's where you can find it, and it says where what happened. Now, it could be wrong, you see. But that's just information as good as I could get it.
But I see that as one of the most promising things for that you all have done.
It's one of the finest things, yes.
Mm-hmm.
We can't use it. But it's one of the finest things. And it's all on Debbie's personality that she's outgoing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right flattering to her, I think.
Mm-hmm.
because there's no ill will or idea of imposing on anybody. You see, you surely wouldn't do that.
Only way it could ever be used would be to change everything and use it in a good way, but you can get it. You've got the material.
I don't think that works. It's, you have to know too much to get into it. Too many people.
Well, what I did yesterday was work through that the tape when Miss Mary. I mean, I sort of, from reading what you'd written down, I sort of thought that maybe it should be done in almost like chapters. Leave the first thing that I wrote, like as the first chapter. Then I worked with yesterday with Miss Mary and Marvin coming over on Sunday, just with the tape. And that can sort of be the next chapter. Just not, I don't know if chapter is the right word, but just a series.
All your artistic ideas will get you in trouble. You got it down well, first rate. The only thing wrong with it is that last part, and I think it's a little bit ahead of you. As far as I can see, you handle Molière as if he writes farce. Everybody's in on it except one person. That's a farce. But the mentality of the Enlightenment, you don't get that. So I wouldn't worry about it, because you can get it. I didn't have any books to work with. I don't know Molière. But it's not so formidable, you see, that you can't get it and handle it. But it'll hold up. You got everything down. I think that's a big thing. And then your view of yourself is not quite that night where you finally realize that what was happening. But your farce won't do that. That won't do it. That puts it in a, oh, that takes all this sting out of it. You just take that as a personal thing. That here all this has been going, and look at me, you see. I missed it all. And I never saw anybody as taken down as she was. And it's a remarkable thing, you see, as she was, because she'd been living it. And the it takes a pretty considerable fortitude. You look at yourself in those terms.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, but if you can, you see, that you've got enough down that it'll hold it. You can come back to it. But the great biggest part of it, after you sort of get come to the next day, is you can see that it's that it's that it really all stems from the condescension, you see, towards the countryside and your sort of schoolgirl view of Molière.
Miss Readingham.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And what you want to do is that's what you do all the time. You're looking for appeasements to make them live. Well, you can see them, and they're not schoolgirlish or schoolboys anymore. You see, you can't get into Emerson. You've got to use my reading of Emerson. Because, you see, I have caught myself up on that all this time. I've picked up my misreadings. I pick them up. I look for them. Violent misreadings. What he says about the institution, you see. You see, I practically rewrite the Severland and the scholar. Put them into terms that you can understand, that you can use. The things that Emerson hadn't got to and never did get to. For instance, he thinks of the education of the scholar, that part of it he has to, he can't be effeminate, you see, and just stand off and be excused from looking at the world. He has to be a part of it. He has to act. Accent is an important part of a scholar. Well, that word doesn't mean anything anymore. And Emerson's handling of the idea isn't very much. I don't know what it is. I ought to be able to say if I was a scholar now. But the only terms in which it means anything to us is that the scholar, you see, also has to have experience. And that's asking a good bit of Emerson, because he didn't have. He pretty much, as far as I've ever seen, built a wall between him and experience. He has insights, little visions, which he can't support. And he got those marvelous statements. He sees a way, but he can't take it. So, you see, we can supplement that. Now, that's what you do with Moliere. Is he going to use them at all? If you're not going to use him, don't see him. In other words, don't play with first-rate figures. Unless you're prepared to go and say, I'm pretty raw, half-baked on this. I'm going to look for just a little more light. Unless you're prepared to go that with some strategy, you don't see a first-rate figure.
That's right. This is one of the big things.
Now your little second, third, fourth, fifth rate figures, you see, you don't go to see them, you go, it's more of a family affair. Well, if it is, you ought to report on your family and not on what the place has. You're so serious, eh? I'm not any more serious out here than I was the day before yesterday. Just because I sprained my wrist on that damn nigger, that don't affect the prices or anything out here. Now, Rick, you just keep on the track, you see, and not get derailed. If I say anything wrong, you can just keep pushing.
Well, we still have.
You're going
to. Gabriel.
Yeah, but you don't know him.
No, that's why Sam called and made the appointment for me.
Oh, you got an appointment with him.
Said any time Thursday or Friday. And I thought it was outstanding for Gowan to do that.
What's that?
I thought it was outstanding for Gowan to do that.
Yeah.
You know, he knows Vince,
yes.
And he knows how to talk to him. He knows how to go through all those
yeah.
people.
Yeah, he wouldn't have done it for. Unless he expects something to come of it.
Well, he just. I don't know. Sam just seems like, you know, he's willing to help out. That's unusual.
Well, now, you still got to have your little strategy when you go into this.
Yeah, because Vince is a businessman.
He's a businessman.
And his point of view is, how can I get this for the museum? And maybe get a feather in my cap at the same time. And Sam told me, he says, right now there's a $5,000 fund I think the university's put up for it. I didn't quite catch it, but anyway, the fund can is supposed to go with Historic Gainesville to be used. But Vince is trying to talk these people out of letting the money go for building little museums all around Alachua County, which will cost Historic Gainesville. There goes all that funding. He says, now if that happens, we're going to have a little run-in between Vince and I.
So Vince wants it.
Yeah, Vince wants the money.
He wants a little museums all around the country.
Yeah,
county.
Well, yeah, for the historic museums.
Yeah.
So, he says, you just, you know, be careful. But he's the man that gets the grants. He says, you tell him what you got, and he'll sit down and go through the books, say, okay, this person can help you, and you can check with these people, and these people.
Yeah.
I've run into him before. I just didn't know who he was.
Well, now, the thing about this thing we've drawn out is it don't have to go in any particular direction. It has all those prongs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I haven't been able to show them all,
mm-hmm.
but I put down several.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Vince will look at it. Well, let me put it this way. What they're getting ready to do now, there's some woman who did an oral history project in the Gainesville High School. And they're getting ready to set up a display using her tapes. So what he will, I don't think he'll be able to see it. Like Sam would or somebody, it's going to have to be a lot more simplified. He'll probably think of it as oral history or something, and he'll probably think of it in terms of how can we put it on display, which I kind of have to be careful with. But I was thinking,
let me tell you, you can put it on display very easily. You can do it through the Foxfire book.
Yeah.
You see, you've got talk at the beginning, talk at the end.
That's right.
And both of them are condescending to the people, you see. They don't know how to talk with them.
Mm-hmm.
You can take your Foxfire book with you.
Yeah.
And just show him that.
Yeah.
That at the end, you've got that marvelous character with that wicked grin, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Is she all right in her face?
Mm-hmm. Wicked smile it was.
Yeah.
Did you see how I put wicked?
He's cutting up tomatoes, don't you know?
What a wicked smile was.
You haven't seen that?
Oh, when I type the grant. You really ought to look at it.
Well, it'll look just like a misprint. I haven't had a chance to look at it much.
You ought to look at the soft side. Just look at this enough to see what. How much
father
you all are, man.
He's the last one. Now, this is the one they let him talk. And when he talks about himself, he talks about it. He used to be free and all like that. And when he talks about the times, he says astronauts didn't get to the moon. They had some little way station up there. So, you see,
mm-hmm.
they don't know how to let him talk.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
But now there he is. And read that first part there.
People look at those pictures, he laughed, and say, what is that crazy old man a-doing? You tell him I'm putting up meters for the winter, that's what. People might laugh at such stuff as this, but I tell you, I'm not about to let them rot. And when you got old, you're not a-going to lay down and die just because you're old. Feller's got to have something to do. Well, this is one of the things I do, and I'm proud of. Let them laugh. I'll be eating good this winter. And laughing back.
That's just beautiful. That's just beautiful. He baits him. It's a shame to see that they don't know how to let him talk. Now you can put that in a museum.
Mm-hmm.
You can put on some more talk if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Put on some Mr. Nealon's and Mr. Weaver's and Mr. Tuck Max.
Hmm. This display they're going to have going, it's going to be like it'll be like this, a picture, and then just some of the tapes recorded so people can pick up a phone and listen and hear it.
Yes.
You see.
Oh,
it,
really?
It's the same thing, but they'll be off the printed page.
They'll have tapes and you can listen.
They'll have the actual tape.
Oh, we can do that. Yeah.
They're just, you know, certain tapes. There's some of them, I feel like they'd abuse them. There'd always be, what I was afraid of was they'd put it on display and people would come and laugh and say, ha ha, look at these funny country people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You see. So the museum really hadn't done anything but abused it.
Mm-hmm.
But I suppose they could do some of that if they wanted.
Well, anyhow, you go along with him.
Yeah.
Let's see.
See what he's got.
Because
he's probably the first business person I'll have talked to.
Yeah.
See, that'll make a difference.
Yeah.
Because they don't know the other end of it. I mean, all these people up there, Gene Moss and Green, all of them seem to be floundering when it comes to saying what the purpose is and how you get a grant.
Yeah.
And it tickled me to actually see that come up.
Yeah.
And anybody's. Anybody's grant.
It's gotten to be such a rough thing to write a grant proposal.
Yeah.
They even offer in a course?
Yeah. U.S. 602, grant writing.
What course is my department?
I don't know what. I guess U.S. is law.
Yeah.
But Carl Feist said, you know, I recommend you all take it. And a lot of them said, well, we just might sit in on it. And they're going to have people that lecture there that have, well, one is a girl named Pat something, who gets grants from the National Science Fund all the time.
Yeah.
And the way it works out is you learn how to get grants from a particular fund, and then you become a specialist writing for grants for this fund. And they're just trying to find somebody who knows how to get to the National Endowment for the Humanities.
Well, do you know the echelon? You know the way up? Do you ever hear them talk about who's ahead of who?
But Gene Moss went up last weekend to Washington and went all around the bureaus. He and this woman that writes all the grants.
Yeah.
So he knows.
Table of
I suppose he is. I'm afraid. Well, I don't know. They have all that officialese English, department English, and you can't use that.
Right.
You know, well, just like that letter,
yeah.
It says formal English. Might we not accomplish something by this luncheon meeting? Well, you don't want to have a luncheon. Oh, it was funny. You got up and said, we're almost out of time, and all we've been doing is eating.
That's what I figured.
But I suppose some of them could. Especially Carl Feist and Blair Reeves, who are kind of the... Now, what they do is they're like the experts that are used to that Historic Gainesville refers to when they need expert opinion or somebody's backing up statements and whatnot. They go to these people. And Price is head of the Urban Development League, and I think he's the one that's going to be sponsoring the course. He's on campus. He's on staff.
Well,
we can get in touch.
You want Debbie to go with you?
Might be.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Two can get around a lot faster than one. She can check out some and I the other. And
I wasn't talking about that.
It always helps when you talk with someone.
Your head man over there.
Yeah, to have someone there listening, you know? It's
yeah.
Like when I do the conversation.
Yeah.
I can't quite hear it as well as somebody else can.
Yeah, you can't tell where you've been.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the little tapes are for. That kind
yeah.
Don has.
Yeah.
I don't imagine he uses too much trouble. Yeah, that little Sony. He just put it on his belt.
He still uses it.
Does he?
Mm-hmm.
And it just helps him. I suppose recall
mm-hmm.
what
mm-hmm.
was said.
When he's talking business or anything out to somebody, then he can just a little thing he puts on his belt.
That's an awesome.
Yes, I think that might work because Debbie can, and then she'll know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
See what's better.
Well, we better consult with her. So.
Problem is. Stand for yourself if you don't want to do this.
I think I could probably help just by listening. I think Rick probably talks better about the grant than I do.
See, if you can remember what's said.
Yeah, that's
helps
right, yeah.
And you've said that before, Rick, that it helps to have another for you.
Well, so I've got something for the mockingbird now.
Yeah.
I'd do anything to keep him around. I don't think I can go through another summer with a cardinal sitting up there singing and trying to go like a mockingbird. I've done that two summers.
Well.
I hate, the thing that sustains me out here, you see, is the countryside. It's a great lift I get. And, you see, I can't say to myself, well, it won't be here tomorrow. It'll be crowded out. I just have to take what I can get. It's just about all gone. It's not mortality that's done it. Much money in the world. Now, you see, Frankie was here Sunday, and we figured, oh, we can get old Frankie over here now. His mother, I don't have the patience, I don't have the time to work with her anymore. I think she's just about talked out. Just doesn't have any more energy. But Frankie's got energy. And let me tell you what happened. Now, this is what picks me up. And it enables me just to keep on. And never get tired as long as I have just a little touch of that. Frankie and his family were over here one Sunday, back when we were in pretty full swing, and Cookie was here, and Cookie and the little Cookies always help. They actually had just sort of put us over for a long time. They didn't realize how much they did. But some of the people in my classes were out here, and there were several of the girls that I knew pretty well, and they had on those miniskirts, and I'm telling you, I couldn't get Frankie's attention. I said, Frankie, go over there and entertain my guests. I didn't see him anymore. I couldn't get him away. He was standing right out there. I remember very well what it was. He entertained him. I'm telling you, you could hear him play down at Pappy's place. Now, we don't have anyone with... But you just have to put up with what you've got.
Rick and Debbie could drop by.
If they just dropped by, I think you just have to fight them off.
Come over for a picnic.
Now, you see, Thursday, Margaret goes to Ocala. She's been doing this. She goes to one of her neighbors. And that's a normal time to do it. Just get him on Thursday. After he knocks off work, just tell him, come on over here and bring his maw, and we'll set. Have a picnic, call it a picnic. Margaret says, well, just, well, I don't know whether you've got room for us all or not. I said, Margaret, we don't have room for you all at one time, but we can sure stagger you. You can come one time with your husband, and Frankie can come one time, and we'll just have a time. Margaret that talks about how big she is and how poor she is. That's her two sole remaining subjects. She has gone completely to seed. And she's full of suspicion. She thinks you're taking advantage of her. She thinks I'm taping her. And I don't know what I'd do with that sort of tape. No great market for that.
Well, it's Thursday.
Yeah, we got the other. We got Rick. You going today?
Today or tomorrow.
We don't put it off.
We'll go today.
You got it. You got your bookwork pretty well cleared.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll go in here and get to mail these things off.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Debbie can take it if she wants to. I don't know what she... I'm not in too close touch with her.
Only thing I do have is I redid the, Debbie and I both kind of did it, the first two pages of that grant, and it just needs to be typed so it can be.
You use that just like it is.
All right.
And then keep your notes and say what you want to say.